Heard my little sis is buying a car. You'll need my secret guide.
Gross, no way. I already used Capital One Auto Navigator.
I bet your credit score
wasn't impacted at all, so ha. I got my real rate and monthly payment, had an amazing test drive at the dealership, and made the purchase.
Taking the easy way out. That's so you.
Still not getting it. That's so you. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders on this, well, it's the fifth day of September. Wow. Wow, summer's almost gone now. I think today's officially, well, it's the customary end of summer, is what they usually say. But, well, anyhow, it was a good one, at least for some of us. And tonight we have out there on the board and our producer, Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And tonight being Monday night, we have none other than Pastor Joe Larson.
Well, Labor Day, and here we are laboring for the Lord, as we should.
I want to dedicate this program to all of those true American mega patriots that get up every day and go and work and earn their own way. And they don't live off the labor of other people like the Biden supporters, so many of them do. So, and I want to hope that everybody out there wish you all a happy Labor Day. Out there, all you true American patriots. Boy, Joe, did I run into a bunch of them. Saturday, I went out and I spoke at a rally out in Painesville, Ohio. And then today at the Great Jug County Fair, I ran into a whole bunch of people stopped by looking for that radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And I met a lot of great people for the first time that have been listening to me and telling me how they've been listening to me for years, and they finally wanted to come out and meet, and that was great. So, and I'm sorry for all those of you that I missed, and because I took time out where I just kind of wandered about the fair, talking to people, meeting people out there, and there were people that would come over to our booth, but I had other people in there. You got to get out and about, don't you, Joe?
Yep, you got to get out and see things and do things and be seen and be seen, I guess, is what they say.
Yep. Joe, the title of the message this week was Truth or Consequences by God. And it's all about telling the truth and what happens when you don't tell the truth when you're a constant liar. And so, but I think tonight being Labor Day, let's do this. Let's go to James chapter 1. And read verses 1 through 25. What do you think?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'd like to add one thing. When you were dedicated to those who get up and work, the founding fathers, Madison said, "We to be a free nation." I'm going to paraphrase. To be a free nation, a free people, we have to be citizens who are capable of governing ourselves, controlling ourselves, sustaining ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God, we would be a free and righteous people. And to those that go out and control themselves, govern themselves, sustain themselves, happy Labor Day, because you're doing it the right way.
You know, and I want to also, on this Labor Day, think of people like my dad, that great generation of people that, you know, the World War II survivors, and all of those folks out there, but especially, I remember my dad was probably the hardest working man I've ever met. He was, and he taught his children the work ethic. And he never had, not any of his children ever had a problem ever being unemployed. And they were always, always employed. And I want to, you know, here too, think of my son, who, when he was in high school, he had two jobs after school, not just the one. He had two jobs, but he went out and worked. He went out and he got them, and so, you know, that's the work ethic. I love that. I'm so glad in America we've had this. And today, communism is trying to, the Antichrist system. They want to destroy the work ethic. Well, they want to destroy everything that's good. There's nothing that's good that they don't want to destroy.
Amen. But, and I'd have to add, I had a father like that. The work ethic, even as a young kid, we had our chores. We had yard work, gardening to do, other things, help get firewood. And then I was hiring all over the neighborhood to cut firewood and mow lawns and shovel snow for the neighbors. We were always working. It was like where I grew up, it was the normal thing. And it was a rarity when you had people that you saw sitting around doing nothing was something everybody talked about. It was abnormal, right?
Absolutely.
Times have changed. All right, James 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad.
No, James chapter 1, starting with verse 19 through 25.
Oh, 19. Oh, I thought you said verse 1. 19, got it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Okay, Joe, you can stop there. Now, going back to 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I kind of had to learn that again today. Well, not today, but in the last couple of days, I've had to deal dealings with constantly with people that continue to, well, I don't want to say make the same mistakes, continue to do wrong, just the very same things that they should not be doing. Well, let's just call it sins over and over. And, you know, how many times have you've told them, and then they've repented, and they say, we're sorry, and I won't do it again. And then then they fall back, and so
it becomes, you know, a habit of repenting and doing it, repenting and doing it. It's like the abusive spouse. I'm sorry, and then slap. I'm sorry, slap, and doing it again and again. Right.
Right. And so that comes to a point where it really does test your patience. You know, we've been here before. We're doing the same thing again. And so I had to, you know, think about this, how to slow to wrath, because for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Oh, you get, you know, you so far, you just about, you run out of patience. You run out of patience. And I had to deal with two of those situations. One of them was just a situation where there's an individual that just can't stop talking. Just can't stop talking. And, you know, no matter what I do, you know, you can't be with them, and they want to continually be with you, but they just can't stop talking. And it's like, it's a verbalization of the thoughts. It's not like when you speak and then there's a pause and then you go on. It's a steady stream of verbiage. And and it's
no break, no waiting for you to respond, reply, or say, no, we don't need to do that or go there now or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I had to deal with both of those, right, one on top of the other. And this here, the verse, you know, I mean, it really hits the nail on the head how, you know, the testing of your patience. Because it says...
I also see something in there where he's talking about the wrath of man. I look at the liberals, and they are always angry. Their faces are angry. They're contorted whenever they talk about us. They have hateful looks in their face. The verbiage out of their mouth is angry and hateful. And yet, like Biden today, or speech today, called us hateful and angry. The left is doing exactly, you know, what they've always done: accuse us of doing what they are doing. You listen to the purview, the pew view, whatever the view, and the women are always nasty. They're always angry. They're always mad. And liberals seem like the unhappiest people in the world because they're always angry.
Well, they are the unhappiest people in the world because they always want what belongs to somebody else, and they're lost. They don't have the spirit of the
Lord.
They're
always defying God, so they cannot be happy because everything they are for, God's against.
Absolutely.
Know? So being Antichrist, there couldn't be no happiness.
And they know, and see, deep down inside, even if they deny it, they could deny God all day long, but down deep inside of them, they're that little spark that God has put into that conscience thing, they know that at some point they're going to have to stand before him, and they just hate the very thought of having to stand before a God who their money can't buy, and... you know, they can't, the ACLU can't get them out of it. They're in trouble.
Right.
They know
it. They can't lie their way out. They can't buy their way out. Well, you see that next verse, verse 21, they're talking about lay apart, get rid of filthiness, naughtiness. You know, get rid of these things. They are not good for you. They are not, you know, fulfilling. They're not righteous, and they are against the will of God.
Right. Then it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word of, which is able to save your souls. So he's talking about repenting. Receive the word of God. Repent. Repent.
Mm-hmm.
But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're deceiving themselves. They're saying, well, you know, yeah, I heard it. I don't believe it, though. I don't believe it. But you know, you and I know that they know that eventually they're going to have to face up to it. It's going to get them. And, you know, and I tell these people, because I often have conversations with pseudo-intellectuals who try to convince you that if things really don't exist in property unless you acknowledge them. If people fail to acknowledge certain things and even certain people. They cease to exist. They've been canceled. That's what the cancel culture does. If we refuse to acknowledge your existence, you can't exist. Well, that's stupid of saying that because you exist whether they acknowledge you or not.
Right. But the fact, who are they to judge?
Well, the whole idea is that they really have a hard time totally convincing themselves of that. And when they can't convince us, and so they try to convince themselves. Like, somehow, if I don't believe that there is a God that I'll stand before, I will not stand before that God. Well, don't work that way, does it, Joe?
Well, you also wouldn't be able to convince me. If you can't convince yourself, you're not going to convince anyone else. And then there's that second line for those that profess to be Christians, the ones that just go sit and listen but never do anything. God tells us we are to be doers of the word. We see it here, doers of the work, doers of the law. And almost every verb in Scripture is an active verb. We're to go forth and teach and preach and witness, testify, reprove, rebuke, run to the battle, fight, all these action words. And what he's saying is you can't just sit there and do nothing and be a Christian. You're not a child of God. If you're just listening, you have to do something. Work at it. Labor, right?
Right. You know, then he goes on to say, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now, it's an interesting thing that he used a man there, that he didn't use a woman or a child. And the reason for that, Joe, is men and women and children, they all react looking in that mirror differently. And I remember how we had a bathroom with a double sink in an old house, and my wife and I would be on one side shaving, and she'd be on the other side putting on, as she used to say, putting on a face.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, I would be sitting back and she'd get real close and pucker up and, you know, put on her lipstick. And then I remember Matt, when he was a little bitty fellow, he would sneak up on the mirror. There, we had this mirror on this bookcase in the back of the bed, and Matt would be jumping when he was a little guy, and he would sneak up and he would peek at that mirror, didn't be down, and he would try to see if he could be quicker than that fella in the mirror. and it was funny. But then here, you know, when I know how many times my wife said, "You do know you've got shaving cream behind your ear." I said, "Yeah, that's where I keep it, you know."
That's where I park it, huh?
Yeah, but you see, men would be, we'd go up, we'd shave, take a look. I mean, we could look like 7 miles of bad highway, but at least we got shaved and we smile. We walk around. We don't take a real close look.
No, and, we got the work with shaving. You get it done, you go on, right?
Yeah, I remember my sisters when they were teenagers, when they would get up, when they would get those pimples on their face, and it's like they would sneak up on that mirror, like slow, like maybe they'd get the drop on the pimple or something, or it wouldn't be so bad, I don't know. But so he uses the example of a man here, because, you know, men go in there, we shave, we smile and walk away, and we forget that we have that shaving cream behind our ear. And here he goes on, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." That's us. "But whoso looketh to the perfect law of liberty continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but the doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed," huh?
Exactly. Because everything the Lord wants you to do is doing something, you know. "As you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me," Jesus said. The whole point of our being here is to do something, not just to exist.
Well,
and on Labor Day, here we are, laboring for the Lord, doing his will, his work. and I'm sure something that he finds pleasing, and that there really isn't that much of that going on in the world as should be, right?
Well, when you look at who the greatest worker that there ever was that accomplished more than anybody else, the one that planted the big redwood sequoias in California, and the ones that piled up the mountains and filled up the oceans and filled up the heavens with planets and stars, that was a lot of work, Joe. But that same one did something that was harder than all of that put together. And that is when he went on and he became our advocate.
Right. Became one of us. Became a man who felt and suffered like men do, and then took our place, died for our sins, paid the price for all the... You think it wasn't just the physical pain, the mental anguish of taking upon his sinless, spotless soul all of the horrors, the lies, the deceits, the mayhem, the murders, the cheating, the stealing, you know, everything, rape, on that sinless, spotless soul. I know emotional pain is, I've lived long enough to realize it's worse than any physical pain. Losing a child, losing a spouse.
Joe, when he said, when he had done that, when he had bought the salvation of all that would call upon his name, when he bought that with his own blood, when the job was done, he then said, it is finished.
Finished, yeah.
And he went to sit at the right hand of the Father, huh?
But he is still working, because Scripture tells us it's by him and through him all things in heaven and earth consist. In other words, continue on. He is still in control of everything in this vast universe. He is what holds the universe together, what keeps life going, what keeps everything in balance. And that has to take some work, because from what I've seen of the universe, natural order is for things to descend into chaos, and yet our planet spins, keeps its axis, keeps its right distance, its elliptical orbit. We don't get too hot. The earth doesn't get too hot, too cold. Sure, there are changes, but it stays in that range where we can exist, and it's held together by him.
Then he says this. He says, when we look into the perfect law of liberty, but when we look into the perfect law of liberty, and continue there, and now think about this here. How could laws give you liberty? That word liberty means the same as freedom. How do we get freedom from laws? Well, we do that right through the Word of God here. And in obedience to God's laws, we have freedom. I mean, God tells us, thou shalt not, but all of the things, you know, that he doesn't tell us, where we have freedom, as the Apostle Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. And so we really have very, very few don'ts, and we have so many do's, but do you know what else, Joe, that we find a law of liberty in? And the Founding Fathers knew that when they gave us the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Right. Because that Constitution and that Bill of Rights guaranteed us liberty and freedom. And we have those
and
today.
It came from him, that perfect law of liberty. If we follow his teaching, his word, we will live eternally. Because he tells us, even though we sinned, if we go to him, we can still be forgiven. We can, you know, even if when we're saved, we can still sin. But when we sin, we know to go to him right away and get forgiven. And we live in that perfect law of liberty with him, that perfect balance, that we have a personal relationship with God. We don't just have a religion. We have this personal relationship that we maintain through that law of liberty and follow his gospel, and we become children of God and have everlasting life.
Right. And so, again, today, well, we're up against a break. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Now here's a song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's foul on our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities, we got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist, and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist, and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close a bad gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States, and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist, and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on the immigration in these great United States.
All right, Joe, you had mentioned how Joe Obama was out there again trying to cause a problem, trying to cause a rift, trying to cause a civil war. And that's what Joe Obama is up to by attacking true American patriots out there. And here, what that song says was exactly right. To bring in all of these illegal immigrants, and that's exactly what Joe Obama and the entire Biden crime cartel and the deep state, the very, very, very corrupt DOJ that is totally, completely corrupted. It's got nothing to do with justice. Look, again, I want to say it. Merrick Garland would be very hard pressed to find someone that he would prosecute as corrupt as himself. And here, again, we're seeing how the corruption has gone down through the FBI down. And I praise the good Lord for all those whistleblowers. More are coming forward every day. And now Garland and Ray are saying that anyone who blows the whistle, they're going to lose their jobs. They're going to get fired if they blow the whistle, okay? That's all right. And we know what's happening. We know that they're pushing hard for this fascist police state is what they're doing. And they know.
Exactly. Ever for as long as you and I have been around, we know that the left is always accusing us, the communists always accuse us of doing what they're doing. When Biden stands there and says all the mega Republicans in Congress, we're going backward, we're full of anger, we're full of violence, we're full of hate, we're full of division. And it's just the total opposite. The ones that are going backwards, that are going against the Constitution, are the liberals. They're the ones who are angry and violent. Antifa and BLM on the street, there's where the violence and the hatred. Oh, you just turn on any of the liberal networks and listen to the anger and the hate and the division. As Christians, we know we have to try and bring the nation together, you know.
Well, Joe, the people, look. When did you see the last time, did you see the poor boys or even the so-called white supremacists, if they're out there, when did you see any of them burning down cities? You saw a lot of the Antifa and burn, loot, and murder burning down cities. You've seen them killing police officers. I watched them as they were riding, hit an old man in the back of the head with a brick and laughed as he died there.
Biden said we killed police officers during January, conservatives during January 6th, but I still can't find any dead police officers from January 6th. It just didn't happen.
I know that, Joe, but you have to understand, by the profession of his own daughter's diary, Obama Biden is a pedophile. According to his own daughter's diary, he's a pedophile. Well, we don't even need the diary.
In words, he's a liar.
Well, he's a liar for sure, but you've seen what happens how many times. Just recently, again, he noticed a little girl in a crowd, and he couldn't contain himself. And how, again, the entire Democratic Communist Party is flush with pedophilia. It is flush with pedophilia. Here I got a couple articles I wanted to hit real quick. The People's Republic of China is preparing to go to war. Well, they're saying they're not trying to hide the efforts. Well, you know, they're huffing and puffing. We're seeing a lot of a Hollywood performance here, Joe. And what's happening with this thing? Joe Obama sent two Navy warships over in the area to drive around. But do you know that Joe Obama is owned by the Communist Chinese Party? He's owned by them. The whole Biden cartel is. Then you know who said that? The Chinese Communist Party has said that.
Party, yeah.
And so.
And Scripture tells us to what? We are to judge by the fruits. Well, he's decimated our military. He's turned the whole military into a woke world. He's let the that $85 billion worth of weapons go in Afghanistan. He's taken most of our arsenal of rockets and missiles and weapons and given them to the
Ukraine
without replacing them.
Joe, hold it. Okay. See, something people ought to know, okay? You see, because this one thing that I really like to hold on to, and it's called common sense, Joe, common sense. Now, you see, if you're out there and you're dealing with a drug dealer on the streets, right, and the drug dealer gives you the drugs, what does that drug dealer expect in return?
He expects to be paid in full.
That's right, Joe. So if you think that Joe Obama simply gave that $85 billion worth of military equipment to our enemies, Joe Obama doesn't do that. They expect something in return. They expect mega bucks to be funneled back through the Joe Obama, the crime cartel, maybe in foreign offshore bank. They don't give it away. They sell everything. Joe Obama learned a lot from the Clintons. And so...
But that's kind of the point. By the fruit, the fruit is always aiding and abetting the enemy. When he depletes our national oil reserve, we aren't able to stand it at a time of a quick war, a sudden military need. He's done everything to harm the nation and aid and abet the enemy. That's why by your fruit will you be known.
And that is why, Joe, when the Chinese military have said that they could possibly invade, that it would be a possible invasion of America come November, around November. When they said this, a lot of people thought, well, that was just some Hollywood, okay. No, they know that what's happening is Joe Bama and Austin and Milley, they've been working hard to weaken our military. And if you think that all of those bullets that have been sent to Ukraine are being used in combat, Joe, you got another thing coming, my friend, because that's hitting the black market. Most of those are going right on the black market, and they're being sold. And so, again, just like Hillary did, Hillary has no problem at all of selling what belongs to America to our enemies. She sold all of our
uranium.
Yeah.
20% of our total supply of uranium that we need desperately to the Russians, right?
Right, but not only that, before that, Slick Willie, what he did, he set the Chinese ahead, the military ahead, 25 years in technology.
Exactly. He used the Loral Corporation to teach them how to launch weather satellites, which was also how you launch multiple warheads. He sold them 100 gray supercomputers, but didn't clean the hard drives, and he sold these computers the same year the Chinese graduated 110 scientists with PhDs in what? Artificial intelligence. Now, I don't believe in that kind of coincidence, that the very year 110 Chinese scientists get a PhD, go back to China, we sell them 100 gray supercomputers from, like, Los Alamos Lab, and nobody bothered to clean the hard drives. I don't believe in that kind of, you know, just happening. Do you?
No.
It's just kind of a far stretch.
But you see, remember, the communists have always been generous with other people's property. And that's exactly what the Deathocrats are. That's what he's doing. Look, Joe Bama wants votes. He wants all these young liberals to vote for him. So
he's going to buy them, right?
Right. He's going to say, we'll pay for your college. We'll just simply take the money from and we'll lay the bill on other people. Don't worry about it, okay? Just go vote for us Deathocrats. Again, they're always very, very unbelievable, generous with other people's property. You know what? If I lived out in California now, you're seeing they're putting an emergency use on electricity. They're having rolling blackouts in California.
Right.
And so if I was living in California and they have these rolling blackouts and I didn't have electricity, then what would I do? Well, I'd go out and buy an electric car because that's what you do in California.
Take it home and leave it in your garage because you couldn't charge it.
That's right, but that's what you do if you live in California. And I know I have a lot of good people. And see, the people that say, well, you know, we can't live this way, they move out of there. They go to Texas or Florida or even here in Ohio. But they say we can't continue this if they have any sanity, if they have not lost it completely. I mean,
well, you see, it makes me have a thought. Biden also was accusing, he said that Republicans are the ones who are pushing democracy under assault. And I'm thinking, we're not a democracy. This is one of those big lies that's been told for so long. Everybody goes around calling us, we are a constitutional republic. We have within the republic, which is rule of law, laws that do not change, that's what a republic is, we have a representative form of government, so we have a partial democracy within the confines of the republic, but we are not a true democracy. We are a republic with a democratic form of government. And so he's saying we're trying to destroy democracy. Well, our founding fathers, I've got probably three pages of quotes, they hated and feared democracy because it was mob rule. And I know, Pastor, you would remember the greatest Democratic vote in the history of the world when Herod stood on a balcony and he asked the people, what, who do you choose this day? Give me Barabbas or give us, you know.
That wasn't Herod, Jesus. That was Pontius Pilate.
And the crowd made a vote, didn't they?
That was Pontius Pilate that did that.
I mean, Pilate, you're right.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that was the greatest Democratic vote in the history of the world because that was the emotional rule of the people, without thought, without...
The ironic thing, Joe, was that at that time in the Roman Empire, the Romans had a republic form of government. That was a republic form of government they had now.
And supposedly, in a republic, an innocent man could not be condemned to death.
Well, that's the difference. A republic guarantees the right of the individual. The individual.
Right.
The individual. In a democracy, it's virtually the mob rule. It's 51% can force their will on the other 49%.
Ben Franklin said democracy was two wolves and a lamb debating on what was going to be had for lunch.
Yeah. And so we have to, and of course, this is what Joe Obama and the Democratic Communist Party, they want to take away, they want to totally eliminate the middle class. They want it gone. They want the elite, those that are meant to be served, and those that will serve them. And they don't want any rebellious class in between. That is what their goal is. Little by little, they're killing off so many people today. You know, I was watching last night in a news clip where, Joe, up until the last 2 years, where it come to these athletes, these young athletes, these soccer players, the football players, the basketball players, they were averaging, and this is on a world basis, about 7 or 8 a year would drop dead of a heart attack during, playing. Okay. You're talking about 7 or 8 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That has moved up, Joe, to about 800 a year now. In the last couple of years, they've been dropping off with heart attacks, these young athletes. How much have you heard of that on NBC, ABC, CBS, or CNN?
Crickets, crickets, crickets.
You don't think anything that...
We aren't hearing is the whole thing.
You don't think it's got to do with... This program has been brought to you by Pfizer over and over in all of these commercials. The big drug companies, they have all the advertisement. They buy all that airtime. So they own the TV stations. I mean, and so no matter what lie they tell them, no matter, you keep this out, you keep it out. Just like here, Big Tech ramps up purge of the truth. Google removed WorldNet Daily, the first online conservative news site, from its search engine. Look what happened when you click on World News Daily from Google's search. Well, Big Tech political establishment, the United Nations and the World Economic Forum are cohesively, Joe, endowing to implement the Great Reset Agenda and usher in the New World Order. The agenda can only be achieved by making the conservative Christian pro-American paradigms obsolete and decimating public awareness, of barring access to the truth. And that's exactly... Remember when Bloomberg bought those stations we were on in New York just to get us off?
Yeah.
And just right. Bought them? And here...
The whole network, the whole radio network was purchased.
And here, readers who search for WorldNet Daily... You know, Joe Farrow is a good man. He's a godly man, a good Christian man, and you know, actually, I was with him when he was first got started. We had him on the radio program here. But he goes, readers who search for WorldNet Daily on Google are now directed to a page that issues advisory when they click on the news site for the text giant's search engine. Warning, visiting this website may harm your computer. It cautions. So let me tell you, it's just unbelievable. Google is corrupt. It is corrupt as corrupt gets.
Unadulterated lies. I've been going to WorldNet Daily for as many years, I think, as it's been up. And I guarantee there's nothing wrong with that website.
No, they tell the truth. And the truth is hate to those that hate the truth.
Amen.
And so, anyhow.
Well, like they're doing... remember the liberals, when you're talking about this hate, they keep bringing up equity. Well, our country was based on the equality of man in his relationship to God. We all have equal rights, God-given rights. But the Democrats want equity. That's an equal outcome. And today on Labor Day, it's been achieved. They have what's called the labor participation rate. I'm sure you've seen that. Well, it's the lowest it's been in 45 years. Over 40% of the Americans of working age, one, are not working. So we're not laboring. Now, two, of the ones that are working, of the bottom 60% of all the workers in America, those who's they're you know out there working every day, they have equity now with those who are not working. In other words, by the time they work and pay taxes, the sales tax, the income tax, state tax, they are coming out with exactly the same income as those who do not work. So the government is slowly achieving equity in America, not the equality of God from God, but equity of communism for those that labor, the blue collar, the working class people, and those underneath. They are working hard, and yet they're taking home the same amount of money as all of those who do not work, who are on welfare. This is what the communists want. They want equity. They want all to be poor.
Well, if you apply for every program that's being offered, you can make an average of a family of four of $60,000. $60,000 a year.
That's that bottom 60%, you know, of all the workers in America and around that area.
By not working at all.
You have to make $100,000 to take home that $60,000 by the time you pay your federal, state income tax and all that. You're ending up in the same place. So why work really, really hard, get up, and then you have to spend extra money quite often for tools or clothing or whatever, gas, transportation, all this other stuff. You have extra expenses in there that those who are not working don't have. So in a lot of ways, they may actually come out ahead with more spendable income.
Well, that's what AOC
says.
Thank
you, your communist government, right?
Yeah, that's what AOC says. AOC says that, remember AOC? She says that if people don't want to work, they shouldn't have to work. They should be supported by those that want to work.
We can we can rob the industrious Peter who's working to pay the layabout lout who doesn't want to work, Paul, and everything will be happy. But pretty soon, if they take enough money from Peter, he's going to quit working. And this is what happens in a communist world. The producers finally catch on and quit working, and then everything starts to collapse.
Well, Joe, see, that's the wonderful thing about the land of opportunity. See, you can be as stupid as you can be. In other words, you can say, why work if you don't want to? Let other people support me. And by being that stupid in the land of opportunity, you can be a congressman. And, now AOC's not a congressman, but...
It's a congressman, yes.
But she's not a congresswoman. You can't use that word woman now. So
I can't define it. I can't use the word if I can't define it, right?
It's a
little humor.
That's
what my mother always said. She would not allow me to use words that I couldn't define.
Okay.
In our house. If you couldn't define the word, you couldn't use it. So apparently for that same rule holds today, we can't use the word woman because the left doesn't know how to define one.
No. They don't know what one is. Okay. but see, I do. You know, I wrote a paper
too.
On that.
I live with one. I married one.
Oh, did you? Okay. Well, that's good. But you know, women can be. They can be mothers. They can be grandmothers. They can be sisters. They can be aunts. And You know, they can be all those things, can't they?
And a wife.
Yeah. Okay, so usually the wife comes before mother, or it used to be that way.
It used to be that way, yeah. Now, unfortunately, I think 40% of the children born in America are in a single-parent household, so they have no father in the house.
Well, that's true. Well, actually...
The country.
No, actually, here, since you brought that up, 25% of all children in America live in a one-parent house. It's 25%, Joe. And now, the national... That's the international average is 7%, according to this last poll that I just got here. So that's the international average of 7%. So we're four times higher than what the international average is.
That's
what do you have?
Interesting, because I have seen a couple of reports where they claimed it was just about 40% where children were born to unmarried women. So.
Well,
whichever figure is still not good for the country, is it?
Well, no, that could be true because, a lot of times after they have a child, they get married to have someone help them support it. And
yeah,
so,
that's true, too. It may not be the father, but they do quite often get married later.
Yeah. And so here again, like I said, this poll just said 25% of children live in a one-parent home. Now, Speaking of that, reported sexual assaults across all our U.S. military services branches is up 13% since Milley in Austin, since they went the transgender route, since they brought in the trans queens and they said LGBT is not just an equal, they're superior. They're a superior lifestyle, not just an equal lifestyle, but a superior. Since Milley and Austin did that, rapes, sexual assaults has gone up by 13% in the military. And so, there you go. It's
the military totally gone woke. That's why the recruitment's down. Nobody wants to join anymore because they don't want to be a part of that. And, I mean... A lot of these sodomites and the ones that are trying to transition are going into the military because the military is paying for their transition, but they sure aren't ready for active duty, wouldn't be on what you call combat-ready status, would they?
Nope. Here you go. Breaking exclusive. Republican establishment attorneys connected to Bush and Romney file a brief in support of the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago. Okay, there you go. And so here, requesting the judge to deny President Trump's request to look at the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago. And the three of them they named here is Greg Brower, John Farmer, and William Weld. These are all rhinos, one-horned rhinos.
You know, the good news was the judge said that there's going to appoint a special master to oversee that this situation calls that the Department of Justice should not be investigating itself, looking at itself. So they are going to give Trump a special master to go through things. So
do you think
that is very good news?
Well, do you think Merrick Garland's going to send a bunch of Antifa, a burn, loot, murder over to that judge's house?
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm surprised the judge had that kind of courage, to be honest with you.
And okay,
too many people are intimidated and will not stand.
Well, you know, you know how they work. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a big mob in front of that judge's house sent out there by Merrick Garland.
Look at the Supreme Court. They were out in front of the Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, hang tight. We're up against a hard break. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. A lot to come. Lot.
I got some good stuff.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org.
Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.